Hey everybody, and welcome to Cody Talks Web Only Wednesdays. It's February 13th. I actually haven't had a show for close to 10 days now, I guess. I went on a little vacation. The skin is peeling off my forehead, which is as unattractive as that is. It doesn't allow me to lie to you and tell you that I didn't go to a sunny beach destination in, I was in Cancun for a week, so if you're going to be angry about it, now's the time, because I had a blast at an incredible resort down there with my family, a Christmas present from my mother and her husband, and what a phenomenal Christmas present it was. But we're back. We have a great show lined up today, one that I'm really excited about. Jenny Lynn Anderson is our guest. Jenny Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Jenny Lynn, I've read through your stuff, but I'm really a fairly lazy radio host, and don't have a written bio. I think I know your story, but I'd like to hear it from you. Tell our listeners and viewers, why you're on a radio show today. What are the circumstances that led to this?
Well, I've written a book called Room 939, 15 Minutes of Horror, 20 Years of Healing. And it's a book about a really terrible incident that happened in my life 22 years ago. And so just to set your audience up with what happened in my life, I was on a business trip. I am a public relations executive. I was 27 years old, and I was attending a convention in downtown Atlanta. And I was staying in a downtown Atlanta hotel when this occurred. And I was actually, you know, like so many of us, I was on the trade show floor all day. I'd gone back up to my room, room 939, and the game plan was that I would freshen up for a few moments and meet my marketing director and a trade magazine editor back down in the lobby at 8 o'clock. And I exited my hotel room, which happened to be at the end of the corridor. And when I did so, within about 10, 15 feet of that door, a man was coming down the hallway. And he suddenly came over to my side of the hall, grabbed me, pulled a knife to my neck, and forced me back down to my room. And I fought him in the beginning, thinking I could take him on. But when the knife went to my neck, everything changed, and he forced me back into my room. He then started threatening that he was going to kill me. He robbed me of all of my jewelry, money, etc. And then he started telling me he was going to rape me. And he did sexually assault me. And during the time that I was in the room, you know, there are a lot of things that go through your head when something like this occurs. But I just kept thinking, you know, keep your mind intact, Jenny Lynn. You know, try to figure out a way out of this room. And, you know, I just prayed to God that he would save me. And so what I did, Cody, was I tricked the guy into believing that my marketing director was coming back to my room. He got hesitant. He got off the bed, went to the door, cracked it open, and suddenly my eyes locked upon the eyes of a housekeeper. And at that moment, I just started screaming, you know, he's raping me. He's trying to kill me. And the guy fled out of the room down the emergency staircase, and they never found him. That, so that's where the story begins.
Well, I don't, you know, obviously I, even though it was a long time ago, when someone tells you a story like this, you just have this urge to apologize and wish that someone could have done something, wish that I could have done something, wish that I could have been there with a baseball bat. So first of all, my condolences for you having to experience that in life. There's an impressive part of it to me, that your brain was actively, thinking through the steps of what can I do during that incredible situation. There has to be some faith. There has to be some strength in your mind, to not just shut down in that situation? How, you know, where does that come from? Where does that strength to be making a plan while this is going on come from?
You know, I thought about that a lot, and there are several things that I think produced that. Number one, I had been, as a child, very competitive in sports. And I played basketball, and, you know, you have to do a lot of quick thinking when you do that growing up. And then also, I was raised in the 1960s with my sister as latchkey children. My mother, whom I really respect more than any person on this earth, was a trailblazer, a pioneer in law here in Georgia. She was the first woman lawyer here in Bullock County and also the first female superior court judge to be appointed by a governor. So I was raised by this woman who taught me and my sister that we could do anything we wanted to do. So I was very independent, and I've always been competitive. I'm a type A kind of personality, and I just knew that I had to get out of that room. I did not want to die. And I know that he was going to kill me. He was very mean and very cruel, and I was not going to make it out of that room alive. So it was up to me to get myself out of that room or to figure out a way to get him out of the room.
I really love the tie into, first of all, the strength from your mother, who in today's day and age, I think it's less and less, but it's still there of a challenge for women to compete and be pioneers. In the 1960s, I wasn't alive at that time, but I'm sure there was even more of a challenge in it. But I also love the tie-in where you kind of threw competition and sports into it. I'm a big fan of I'm not a fan of saying every child should participate in sports, but that competition, that drive to succeed, it's very interesting to me that that's something that you credit with, you know, keeping your head calm and, or as calm as it could be in that situation. And trying to, you know, you wanted to win that situation. So you kept your head clear to try and pull that off.
Yes, I absolutely did. And it's hard to do, Cody, under these types of circumstances because, you know, your adrenaline is really flowing, so quickly, and you are freaking out, to be quite honest. But, you know, women just have to realize that they can't give up, and we have to fight. You know, some people say, oh, don't fight, but that means, I just tell people all the time, tell women, that man used force against me with his body, but I kept my brain. And men cannot take our brains from us. They can't overpower us with our ability to think. So we've got to have the brain power, which is always going to be more powerful than, I believe, brutal force.
Yeah, absolutely. Brutal force can be a devastating thing, but at the same time, I'm a firm believer as well that smarts win out, you know, 99 times out of 100. Obviously, if it had gone to the point of him actually taking your life, that argument can become a moot point, I guess. But because you kept your head and didn't allow him to take your brain, it didn't. So since I can't imagine, and it's even hard for me, I'm stammering around a little bit here on the show because it's hard for me to try and imagine or put myself in that situation. Afterwards is sometimes the effects of how this can affect a woman's life afterwards are, I don't know if it's right to say they're more devastating than the event itself, but they can be very devastating to the rest of a person's life afterwards, if not dealt with, correct?
Correct. And, you know, I often say that man, he stole from me that night, you know, items. He robbed me. But he also, in an essence, stole my soul as well, Cody. I was absolutely, this event rocked my world. And my husband, Mark, and my mother, Judge Faye Sanders Martin, came that next day to Atlanta to pick me up. And I am sure the person they found was not at all the woman that he had married nor the daughter she had raised. It traumatized me. It was just so brutal. that you can't come out of this without being traumatized, no matter how strong of an individual you might be. So when they picked me up, I came back home to Statesboro, Georgia, and I suffered in silence for 20 years. And a lot of people have said, you know, Janine Lynn, why? And I was like, well, you know, you come back home and there's a part of you, like with my situation, there was not one nick on my body. That knife did not touch my skin, but what he did was he just etched something so terribly on my heart and soul, and I just didn't want to talk about it because people knew about it here in this community, but a lot of people just don't know what to say to a sexual assault or rape victim, so they don't say anything at all. And so I took those cues from the people around me, and I just felt like, well, my gosh, if nobody's going to ask me about this, I'm certainly not going to talk about it. And I just pushed it way, way, way deep down inside of me. And I lived, and my children and my husband and I raised two beautiful daughters, and I went on with my life, but I wore a lot of masks. And, you know that song, Put on a Happy Face?
Sure.
That was Jenny Lynn Anderson. She put on that fake face, and I delivered every day of my life. But in doing so, I also suffered terribly with post-traumatic stress disorder. And it just takes its toll on you after you have PTSD for years and years and years.
Let's go back to the people don't bring it up to you concept or idea, because it's obvious that I'm having trouble having the conversation even. And at that time, I'm not trying to compare it to what you went through, but it is very hard for those around you to know. To know what to say, to know how to approach you, or if they should approach you, but I don't know how to do it 20 years later, having never met you, don't really know how to have this conversation.
I know.
Right after it's happened, the people that are close to you, that's a grueling task for them as well, to know what to do, how to, there's probably some of them that thought, you know, she should just keep it trapped up and not bring it up and try to, quote, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through to people that want to sit down and be a friend but don't know how to bring it up. That's a daunting task as well.
It is. It's a daunting task. And I want to say here with you, Cody, you know, I don't know you, but the thing is that what I'm trying to bring to this is the persona to allow people to have dialogue about something like this when somebody is raped or sexually assaulted. You know, it's sort of like a death. You know, when somebody dies in your family, it's a hard time. You know, it's very hard to go to people and talk about death. It's hard to express something to somebody when you know that they've been diagnosed with cancer. But I think with rape and sexual assault, it's even uglier because it was so brutal and people know that a man did something to you that he forced upon you. And so I think that what I'm trying to do with my book, Room 939, is just to say, look, this happens to women all the time, and we can talk about this. We must talk about this because one in four women will be sexually assaulted. So we've got to start this dialogue somehow. And I feel like I'm the one who can put a face to this and say, look, I'm a pretty normal woman, and this happened to me, and I want to encourage women, too, that they can get through this. And I'm not saying it's going to ever be easy, but we can overcome this. And there's multiple steps that led to my restoration and healing. But I'm just trying to be that woman out there talking about this. And, you know, Cody, you can ask me anything. My book is very candid, and although my book is very, of course, serious in nature, I also, in many of my chapters, went back to my childhood, and I'm a funny person at heart, and, like, I didn't make it all sad and gruesome. You know, I tried to explain to people what my background had been like growing up in South Georgia and what led me to be the person I am today. But yeah, I just want people to ask me anything. I speak all over and I just want to be open so people can say, hey, let me tell you my story, because that's where the power comes. When somebody else can come up to me and say, Jenny Lynn Anderson, I had this happen too, and can I tell you, then I can help them heal, Cody. Do you see the power in that?
I do, absolutely, and I can't, I think you brought up the death of a family member as a somewhat comparable type of situation, and I very much, I think in both instances, okay, let me back up. When it comes to dealing with death of someone close, I think dialogue, having the discussion, I don't think it's ever a good idea to hold those emotions in. And I can speak to that from personal experience and at least act like I consider myself an authority, right? I'm not. I don't have any degrees in psychology or anything that makes me an authority, but I've been through it, so I can act like. And I think that's where, especially from a male standpoint, I've never been through what you went through. So I think my hesitation with it is if I start saying something that sounds like, well, this is what you should do, I have no right to have, I think that's where people get caught up on it, is they have, you know, I've never been through it, so I don't have any right to speak about it.
Yeah.
My point is, I agree with you. I think an open dialogue, and getting the things out in the open and helping people is the best way to help people deal with it. There just becomes that serious hesitation, at least on my part, as to I have no right to tell you what I think you should do. Does that make sense?
I do. And I think maybe the best way that we should do it is to just acknowledge it to people. Like, for instance, if you were to have known me 22 years ago and you were a good friend or even a person who wasn't my best friend, you could have just said, Jenny Lynn, I have heard about your sexual assault, and that just makes me so angry that something like that happened to you, an innocent person who was just staying in a hotel. You just let me know if there's anything I ever can do to help you. And that way, Cody, the only thing you've done to that person is just acknowledged it and then sort of like, stated it, because that's the best thing we can do is to state it happened. Yes, this happened. And you know, I was not at fault. And that person is just acknowledging it. And I think that's all we can do. It's not that I would ever assume that anybody could have helped me at that point in time that's not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So, yeah, I think that's the answer right there, is just to state it, to say it out loud. You know, like if you had had a family member die, I would definitely say to you, Cody, I'm sorry that this person passed away in your life. That's reasonable. And I think we as humans can do that easier. But with this sexual assault and rape, you know, our society just doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's very few topics that are as touchy, that are as unknown to us on how to deal with it. So 22 years later, you decide, or take us through the process of you decide to write a book. What brought that about?
Well, a couple things. One was my post-traumatic stress had really continued to escalate over the years. And I had an episode in which I had sort of lashed out at night. I used to have these night terrors when my husband Mark would come into our bedroom. And that happened in such a way that was a little bit different than in previous years. And I talked to my sister Jana, and she was like, finally said, you know, Jenny Lynn, you really need to get some help. And at about that same exact time, this was 2 years ago, I was just exploring, what am I going to do the rest of my life? And I had this coffee one morning at Starbucks with my friend, or he's not a friend at that time, but he was a colleague here in Statesboro, who was in public relations, and he met with me, and he became my editor of my book. And he just said, Jenny Lynn, he asked me, well, he was asking me about my assault, which was quite uncommon. And he then just said, well, how are you doing with all of that? And, of course, you know, I lied and said, oh, I'm fine. And then he said something to me that just stopped me dead in my tracks. And he said, well, you know, Jenny Lynn, I always thought you had a greater story to tell. and he was talking about my writing, and I've been a writer in public relations all these years. And when he said it, Cody, I just really felt like God was just washing all over me, and I got to feeling like, well, what story? And then a couple days later, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's that story. I'm supposed to write about that story, and I started writing the book. And when I did, it was like a spigot had opened up, and this story just flowed out of me so easily. It was like my brain had been assembling these chapters of this book for 20 years, and it was just lying there in the surface of my brain. So I started writing it, and I released the book last year, and the name of it again is Room 939, 15 Minutes Poor, 20 Years of Healing. And the thing is, though, Cody, it took me 20 years to get to this point because the man was never caught, and I feared that he would find me again. And, you know, today I just no longer have that fear. I do not, and I just felt like that if I could release the story, it would release me, and it has. It has brought about so much freedom. Because when I speak to women's groups and to men's groups, I always have people come up to me and say, Jenny Lynn, your courage to get in front of us today has made me want to tell you something. And, you know, it just happens over and over again. And people are telling me their stories. And it's helping me. And that is the beauty of all of this.
Let me ask you a question real quick, because I think there's maybe another part that – maybe it doesn't apply to you, but I think it applies to a lot of people that are going through any type of negative thing. When you were having coffee with your colleague and he asked how you were and you lied and said you were doing fine and handling it okay. I think sometimes that's the biggest glitch in healing from any type of negative thing, is admitting that we're not handling it okay. I think sometimes as Americans, and it may even be, again, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of having a competitive drive and wanting to be successful and realizing the hard work behind it. I wonder too if that doesn't backfire on some of us sometimes where we act like everything is okay. I know it does to me. When I go through things, I try to put up this front that's actually completely counterproductive from getting to the root of what the problem is and solving it. Do you feel like you experienced some of that? You were trying to prove that you were this, Lord, don't take any of this wrong, but you were trying to prove that you were this strong Southern woman that wasn't going to let this phase her. And does that become a barrier to the actual healing process?
It was absolutely a barrier for me. I thought that I could do it alone. I thought for years and years, and I tried. I tried for years and years. I just thought, Jenny Lynn, surely you're smart enough. Surely you are good enough. You can accomplish this on your own. But the fact is, Cody, we cannot. And I needed help from all kinds of people and also God. I mean, God played a huge part in my recovery, but I always say God puts our He puts resources here on this earth for us, psychiatrists, psychologists. And 2 years ago, I started finally getting the help I needed for my post-traumatic stress, and I do not have it anymore. And I just thought I would live with it to the ends of this earth on my days here on earth. But cognitive therapy helped me with a licensed psychologist. And once I started working on that post-traumatic stress, so many things corrected in great measure. And, but yeah, I definitely thought I could do it alone, but you can't. And also faith, my faith provided great strength in the days that I did not believe in myself.
Yeah, there's no doubt that faith, I'm a Christian, but I'm also widely accepting of any kind of faith. I think that, or I really think it's just about having faith in something is the most important thing. And it's amazing how that some type of a belief in something that's bigger than you really boils down to being probably the best way to cope with any of this stuff. So you decided to write this book at the prompting or the encouragement of this colleague of yours. Take us through the to get off of the main subject a little bit and get to the book, people that just decide to write a book and do it, it's always incredibly interesting to me how that process went. Are you self-published? Did you write it and start submitting to publishers and get, you know, go through a publishing house? How did that process work?
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole nother great conversation too. But yeah, I am self-published. And since I'm a public relations and marketing professional, I felt like I had the skill set to do it as a self-published author. And it has really worked quite well. It's extremely hard. There are so many obstacles when you are self-publishing. But one of the greatest things that occurred this past year, just 6 months into the book, was that I got picked up by a national distributing company, which allows you to get into all the bookstores. And that is usually that doesn't occur quite that quickly, but I put together a marketing plan that I submitted to Barnes & Noble, and they wanted to buy my book, and then they come back and say, well, Janelle, in order to do this, you've got to become one of our, you have to go through our distributors, and you have to get a contract with them, which I did. They accepted me, and so now my book can be found at all bookstores, and of course, it's available online at my website, JennyLynnAnderson.com. You can find it on Amazon, Kindle. But first, when I started the process, I would say that for people who want to self-publish a book, it's quite a strenuous task. And for people who have no ability to write and create, and, you know, I have a graphic designer that I work with, so I had a lot of the people around me who could help me with this project. But it is quite difficult, Cody.
Oh,
can be done.
Absolutely. I'm in the midst of the self-publishing process, and it's not really the main obstacle is my convincing myself that the book that I've written anyone actually wants to read right now. But I understand that, and the way that the world has changed in the publishing world, I think, is an incredibly positive thing, that so many more people have the ability to get their message out as opposed to publishing houses and having complete control over who can get their message out. So kudos to you for pushing through the self-publishing process and getting it out there.
I'm in my fourth printing, and it continues to grow. And as I continue to speak, you know, at larger venues, and, you know, I continue to want to speak across the country, that's going to grow. So, you know, yes, I released a book, but in this, I've also started a speaking career. And so it has just been phenomenal, Cody, what's happened with this story. And, you know, it just shows you that good can come from bad. And you know, this book of mine, Room 939, is not just for rape and sexual assault victims only. I've had so many people who've read it and said, Janelle, you know, I haven't lived through that, but I've gone through something so difficult in my life that I've not been able to tell anybody, and you gave me hope and courage that I can get through my difficult situation as well. So it's a universal theme. Hurt and pain and suffering, we're all going to have it. But what are we going to do with it? And, you know, this could have just ruined me. And it did change me for a long time. And I tell people I did it the hard way. I don't want people to do it the way I did. I went down every road, every path. I went dead ends trying to look for answers. And I did it so hard, the hard way, but it doesn't have to be that difficult. And I feel like in my book I've given people this whole story of what I did. And, you know, I'm finally getting there. And I tell people I'm going to be on this road to recovery my whole life. This isn't going to just, you know, it's not like you're just fixed overnight and you're perfect. I'm never going to be perfect, but I am surely better than I was just yesterday, and I am about 10,000 times better than I was 2 years ago, and I have such hope for what I can become still, and I'm 49 years old. I feel like I'm 28 again, and I'm starting anew.
Yeah, that's I love that part of the story. We talk a lot on Cody Talks, both on the show and my blog. I'm a big personal responsibility person. And I don't ever want people to take that wrong as me thinking it's a dog-eat-dog world. or it's an every man or woman for themselves type of thing. That's not the way I think about it, but I do think that people have some responsibility to kind of fight back against the things that are trying to ruin or screw up their lives. And even you have a personal responsibility to go get help and on a even bigger note, admit that you're not handling it on your own. You know, that's kind of a personal responsibility thing. That there's all kinds of resources and things like your book and your story, as well as hundreds and thousands of other support mechanisms out there for people. And I think that your story should inspire people to realize that they can kind of, I don't know what the term is, because in my dumb jock brain, the word suck it up is what comes to my head, but it sounds so cruel for me to say that in this conversation, but you kind of have to say, you know what, I got to deal with this. And that doesn't mean deal with it on your own. It doesn't mean forget about it. It doesn't mean just get past it right now. But it means kind of stand up and stop letting it dictate your life and go out and use friends and family and resources to fight back against this thing. It goes back to that competitive talk that we have, that you need to win against this thing. You don't have to do it on your own. But sitting and letting it beat you is it's not an option. It shouldn't be an option.
No, right. And, you know, we shouldn't be ashamed. After I experienced all of this, I ended up years ago with depression. And that was, I believe, as a result of those elevated cortisol levels in my brain as a result of the post-traumatic stress. And that's something I really tell people. If they have a family member who's got PTSD, don't leave them untreated. Get them help, because if you don't, years later, they're going to probably, they will have a greater, you know, susceptibility of getting depression like I did. And I talk freely and openly about my depression. I mean, I really don't think I would have ever had depression had I not had all that PTSD going on for so long. But you know what? I sit here today and I tell people everything. I'm like, yep, I had depression. Yep, I had anxiety. Yes, I had fear. Yes, I had everything. I've had everything. But, you know, it doesn't mean that my life's over. It just means that you've got to get help. You've got to explore ways to get better, even though it's going to hurt to do so. And I'm not saying it's been easy. It's not been easy. But it surely, my life is surely better than it was some years ago. And there's just a wonderful thought that if I can do this, because I didn't think I could ever get better, that if I can get better, I know a lot of other people can too.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that part of the story. Another quick, I keep going off on these little, that as bouncing through your website, I noticed that you've put some QR codes in your book,
yeah.
Which is really cool. I have a book that's literally sitting waiting for one click for me to self-publish it. And every chapter has a QR code to a video presentation, which, again, I put so much work into this thing and can't convince myself anyone's going to like it. But tell me, that's a neat process there, that you made a book high-tech in a way. You made a true traditional printed book a little bit high-tech. What led to that process?
You know, halfway through writing the book, one day I was sitting here in my office, and I thought, you know, until you feel, you cannot heal. And so with that thought, I was like, why does my book have to be flat? And my daughter Morgan is a junior at University of Georgia, and she was at that time talking to me about QR codes and learning about them in school. And I thought, you know what? I am not going to make my book flat. I'm going to make it multidimensional, multifaceted, and I hired award-winning composers, musicians. I have several QR codes that have been engineered, one by a Grammy award-winning man whom I know, Archie Jordan. And so I went and got the very best people I could to help me engineer and create these QR codes. And I created music, I created videos. I have my voice on one of the QR codes, reading a letter to my assailant, forgiving him. And, you know, I believe that my book was the first on the market in the inspirational section to use QR codes. They weren't there. They're really still not there today, but I just felt like it could maybe give people more emotional pitch to what I was going through at that time in that storyline. And I'm just still so in awe of the people who came and rallied behind me to create these QR codes with me. And they'll absolutely flat make you cry. And that's the purpose. A lot of times we won't feel these things. And I wanted people to read my book and to feel it. And when you can, at least you're admitting that this somehow emotionally touches you, and it might help you on your journey of healing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very cool. I actually have the links on your website. You have links to go and see those the media files attached to those QR codes. And
yes.
Quite
and
honestly,
that in case somebody doesn't have the smartphone, you know, you if you buy my book and you don't have a smartphone and you don't scan the QR codes, you can go to my website and you know, access those QR codes as you're reading the book.
Yeah, that's a really cool feature. I have this image as a macho radio host that I have to protect, when I go off air, I may click on a couple of those and check them out, but yeah. I'm not going to do it while people can see me get emotional about it, you know?
Yeah, but I love those QR codes. I think that they, and that's also a great thing about being a self-published author. I could do it my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could create this into everything I wanted it to be. And isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, it is. It's a great world that we live in now. The ways that people can have a voice, just like this, what we're doing right now. I mean, I feel like the fact that I get to pick the topics that I want and have a radio show and deal with the things that intrigue me and I think are necessary to be dealt with. It's an incredible time that we live in for communication and spreading your message. Jenny Lynn, I really want to thank you. I always have this goal, and I told you before the show that 15 to 25 minutes is my goal, and we're at 38 right now because it's been an incredibly interesting conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time. I would highly encourage people, I always encourage people to start out researching the guest. And your website is phenomenal. It's JennyLynnAnderson.com. There's a link to it on Cody Talks right below the video of this episode. It'll be up. It's actually already up live. If you go to Cody Talks, you can see the link there, or you can just type in JennyLynnAnderson.com just like it sounds. And, you know, you've got the contacts to like your page on Facebook. Follow you on Twitter. I love those concepts too. When people get touched by something or an author's work affects them, it's so much easier nowadays to actually communicate with that author. There's also a contact page on there, a page about the speaking. I know you do a lot of speaking to people, and that's another way that you really hope to get out and spread your message as well, right?
Yes, I do. I hope to become a nationally known speaker. And I just have a great desire to do this. I spoke 65 times last year, and I would just go anywhere and everywhere that people would invite me. And I'm speaking about, you know, one initiative I have is called Know Before You Go, Safety Travel Tips for Today's Woman. And that I'm doing a Savannah International Trade Show this weekend and speaking there a few times on that topic. But I really want to empower women to think differently about traveling, but I also want to spread my message of healing from more of a faith-based side of things. So this approach of my speaking is multidimensional, and it just depends on what group would need what kind of message. But mostly, I have been mostly in front of women's groups, but definitely men's groups too. I'm speaking to a men's group tomorrow with a Rotary group. And, you know, all men have wives, daughters, mothers that they care about. And this is a man's issue. Men are going to ultimately help us change and shift society so that other men will not do this to women.
Yeah, absolutely. As well as men also have their own issues, and you know, on the larger scale of dealing with the trauma of any type of traumatic incident that happens to someone. So it's a great message universally. Lot of good contact information. Great. You have a great website that kind of every question that I think a website should answer is answered on your website. And I really want to just thank you for having you on. You're the kind of guest that, I think sometime down the road, I'll probably be bugging you again to have you back on and re-talk about this conversation, because I think obviously from a woman's perspective, it gets right down into a very serious issue that, like you said, you had a statistic of 1 in 4 women. So this is not a small group of people that are affected directly by this. And in the big scheme of things, we're all affected by it in some way. So Jenny Lynn, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me, Cody. And I look forward to reading your book.
Well, we'll see. I gotta gain some courage to get it out there, but I'll keep working on that. Maybe you'll inspire me a little bit more to take it another step.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being on. The archive for the show will be up. For those of you that didn't catch the first part of it, it'll be done rendering in probably 45 seconds to a minute after we shut down here. And Jenny Lynn, thanks again, folks. Check her out at jennylynnanderson.com. Phenomenal story. And a very intriguing book for sale there as well. Have Jenny Lynn come talk to you, because if nothing else, you're getting a great Southern accent out of the deal.
I love it. Thank you, Cody, for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Web Only Wednesdays. I'm back from vacation, so we'll be live again Sunday morning at 7:00 Central Time on KSKU in South Central Kansas and worldwide on Cody Talks. Thanks again.